from game one.
Bounce down to Giannis. Catches on Tice. Hook shot down with a foul.
To game 72.
It is in the bank. It is earning interest. This one is over.
And beyond.
And the magic number for clinching the top seed in the Eastern Conference
the
is down
place
to
be for the big picture on the Bucks. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Trends, tendencies, and trajectories of your Milwaukee Bucks, as well as all around the NBA.
I think this team is going to be even better than the last couple of years, and those teams are pretty darn good.
Now, here's your hosts, Justin Garcia and Greg Matzek.
Stress-free basketball for the Bucks tonight at Fiserv Forum. The team begins the second half of the season with a convincing 134-101 win over the New York Knicks. Welcome back in. It's Bucks Talk. Did you miss us? We missed you. A little week off, a little pep in the step. Bucks showing no signs of rust tonight. We will break down tonight's matchup. Also, we will run the give and go and see what's going on in your memory bank. Do you recall the events of March 11th, 2020. What do you recall most vividly about that night? Very busy night in the association, 1 year after the league essentially shut down. So back in a good spot here, Justin, and no signs of rust here for the Bucks tonight. And not only do they avenge an earlier loss to the Knicks this season, kind of a head-scratcher, but I was always very interested to watch just the pace, the energy. Could they finish at the rim? Was there signs of, yeah, we had a week off and didn't really do a lot of work with the ball in our hand? Rust is nowhere near the term I would use to describe the Bucks tonight, and that's about as convincing a win as you might expect over a team that entered the night with the league's top-scoring defense and top-three-point defense. Well, throw that out the window. The Bucks obliterated the Nets.
Yeah, Russ never sleeps, huh? And thankfully, we didn't see it today. But it was interesting because last night the Bucks returned to the practice floor, and they had one of those which at first you got the email and you saw when the media availability was going to be, and you saw it's going to start at 7:30-ish, which we know means okay, it's going to be closer to 8. And you think, man, why is
about
this
11?
So late? And then you figure out. This makes sense. The players are returning from out of market, and they have to go through testing and get cleared to return to the floor. So, okay. But I was most struck by, and I think Eric Name and Zora brought it up, and I know in chatting with Zora before the game, it was something that we were both talking about as well, that it seemed like Coach Boonholzer was really trying to caution everyone, hey, this may not be pretty. That it might take some time, that we're returning to form here, we're returning to the court. Don't really expect the most from this team. But we saw the opposite, and I don't know if it was a bit of gamesmanship or if whatever they went through in practice, which was largely defense, really resonated with this group, because a lot of the issues that we saw, and I get it, the Knicks are not a great offensive team, but what was most encouraging was a lot of the issues we saw from this team through the first half of the season, and those lapses and those stretches where the defense just, it looks like it comes unglued, for lack of a better phrase. We did not see any of that tonight. And I know it was almost exclusively the defense that they worked on in practice, and as Bud put it, really cleaning up some of those mistakes. And if this is the type of team we can look forward to, not necessarily 30-point wins, but team that is much more crisp like this, especially on the defensive end, it's going to be a very interesting race, 1-3 in the East.
855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on Bucks Talk. It's also our text line, 855-616-1620. So the Bucks scored 30 points more than the Knicks are allowing on average this season. You're not going to see many teams score 68 points in the first half against the Knicks. New York was held 3 points, a modest 3 points, below its season average. So there's the juxtaposition of the Knicks. That's their bread and butter, defense. Not necessarily an offense, even though they've got some young, capable stars. It was not an out-of-the-ordinary offensive performance from the Knicks, but the Bucks offense found a groove about halfway through that first quarter, and then it was just on the gas pedal the rest of the night. And we've talked about this throughout the season, and at times it's happened against the Bucks, Justin, but now you hit your first couple shots and you start to feel it a little bit, and all of a sudden anything that goes out of your hands is going to find the net. I'm struggling to find Let's see here. Pat Connaughton. Okay, Torrey Craig in some late minutes. Dante, very few players shot under 50% tonight. And as a team, you look at 57.5%. That's going to win a lot of ball games, right? And that's we haven't seen many teams do that to the Knicks this season.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be interesting, and not to spend too much time on the Knicks. I guess this is all I'll say. I'm going to be really curious to see if we see a lot more of this from the Knicks in the second half, because they've been a great story. And I think it's the Knicks and the Charlotte Hornets that have been the biggest stories in the Eastern Conference on a positive note here. But I know the defense will point to, and that's one of the trademarks of Tom Thibodeau, is he comes in and he gets the defense turned around. But there's a lot of people that will point out, you know, there's a lot of signs of the Knicks are going to be facing a heavy regression to the mean in the second half. I mean, some of those numbers that you talked about, too, with season average and what they allow to their opponents, and even the three-point shooting percentage, there's a lot of luck that goes into that as well. Seth Partnow, formerly of the Bucks and now of the Athletic, broke that down as well, that expect the opponent's shooting percentages to go up against the Knicks. And the problem there is, you know, if you think the opponent's shooting percentage is going to rise 3 to 4% or so, you think, okay, no big deal, our offense can offset it. But as you pointed to and as we saw tonight, this is not a very good offense, and that it is a basically 90s-style team that Tom Thibodeau just wants to grind it out and create a rock fight and win a defensive game. So if the defense isn't going to be quite as top level as it was in the first half, and we know the offense is not going to exceed those expectations, it could be a rough second half for the New York Knicks.
Everybody in here, stats?
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Mentioned some of the numbers in our opening segment there. There's a variety of ways you can go with stat of the day. I am going lucky sevens. Well, lucky for one member of the Bucks, not so lucky for a member of the Knicks. Julius Randle, 23-point-per-game score, all-star. It's been a remarkable season for him on a team that is opened some eyes in the New York Knicks, now a 500 team, but just 7 points for Randle on the night. He was unusually quiet. Credit the Bucks' defense and length for that. Just 3 of 12 from the field, and nothing really was easy for him. It was not just, well, he just didn't shoot the ball very well. I thought the Bucks made it pretty difficult on him. And then the other sevens, Bryn Forbes, 5 of 5 on threes in the fourth quarter, 7 of 7 for the game. It seemed like any time he threw it up, it was going to go in, because that's exactly what happened. It started off as like a drive and kick game, and then it turned into, whatever, I'll just fling it up and see what goes on here. But you love to see that, because when he was taken out of the starting lineup, it really didn't change the way he was used, the minutes he was getting, by and large. He didn't have a 7-for-7 night. But I think with Bryn Forbes, what we've learned is what we thought. Him in the starting lineup, him off the bench, it's been pretty consistent. And tonight was an outstanding night.
Yeah, I mean, 10 for 10 between he and DJ Augustine on threes. So, I mean, you take that duo out, and suddenly the Bucks are shooting about 25% on their three-pointers. Is there 8 of 28 on threes without that duo? But I agree, and I think we talked about it at the time, too, when that change was made and we saw DJ Augustine, and that's the funny thing, or the ironic thing, of those two guys intertwined in their connections in the starting lineup, and they're the two guys that gave you the big lift off the bench tonight. But at the time that switch was made, I think we talked about, you know, this may be as good as Bryn Forbes was in the starting lineup, and he had some similar games to this in that stretch. The game against the Cavs, I know he wasn't starting that game, but the game against the Cavs where he started 6 of 6 on threes, and that was in the middle of a stretch where going into the starting lineup, I think Bryn was over a 10-game span, was shooting over 50% on his threes. But coming off the bench as one of those scorers and just shooters and trying to maximize the minutes that he plays with Giannis, that's probably the best usage for him, because when he's in the starting lineup, he's going to fall down the list in terms of the pecking order, that Giannis is going to be a primary target offensively. We know Chris Middleton is going to come in front of him. So is Drew Holiday, even Dante DiVincenzo, and everybody essentially in the starting five. But when he comes off the bench, it's basically find an open shot, take it, and make it. And that's what he is best suited to do. And look, I think the same can be said for Bobby Portis. You don't need these guys to shoot 50%, But if they can shoot at a high clip like this, if they can even be near 40% on their threes, that changes things immensely for this team in the postseason. Because one of the issues they ran into was building that wall, and I think Giannis has gotten a lot better at figuring out how to attack it. But the other problem was you didn't really have teammates that you felt comfortable were going to make an open shot when that presented itself. And now you have Brent Forbes, who is in the top 10 in the league in shooting percentage. Bobby Portis is second in the league in three-point shooting percentage. So if you can continue to get performances like that, that's going to be huge for this team as they move into the postseason. That and Drew Holiday and how much he's helped out the half-court offense. I mean, I guess I would say the 10-for-10 for me would be the main one I would point out just from that duo. But at DJ Augustine, you know, ever since that switch was made and put him in the starting lineup, it feels like that's just what he needed to get back on track. And now he's been, you know, I know he started the first three games that Drew Holiday was back, but the minutes tailed off. He's been a much different guy. And again tonight, 12 points, the perfect shooting from three, 18 minutes of work. He gives you 12 points and two assists. I mean, that's the ideal thing that you're looking for. If he can play 14, 15 minutes or so and give you around 8 to 10 points, perfect, and just knock down a couple of threes, that is consistently what we've seen from him in the last six games.
Well, and what stands out about tonight's game is that Drew Holiday was back in the starting lineup. This is the most minutes he's played since his bout with COVID. So 25 minutes in the starting lineup and a clean performance, too, 5 of 9 from the field. So, okay, so DJ, nice story as a starter. What's it going to look like when he goes back to the bench and is not playing the same minutes with that starting group? And, you know, not every night's going to be a perfect 4-for-4 from the field, but nonetheless, 18 minutes, I mean, you talk about efficiency. You could argue he was the most efficient player off the bench with his minutes tonight. That is why you have DJ Augustine. And it took a while to get going, but just something like this. Doesn't have to be perfect, but something like this is what you'd feel good about, especially going into the postseason. The moment's never going to be too big for him. I'm not worried about that. But back as a reserve player for the Bucks tonight, he was as good as he had been as a starter. So it was really nice to see. I'm happy for the guy, man. I really am. I felt like it was on his shoulders early on, and he wasn't happy with the way he was playing. He'd be the first to admit it. And he's found something here. Kept with it, and it's paying off.
You know what? Bad job by me, too. Let's pretend I didn't reference the DJ Augustine numbers, because I had this whole speech plotted out for my stat of the game. And I blew it. It should be 2. Should be the number that we remember most, because, Greg, we finally saw it. The NBA debut of Namadi Diakite. And look, it was entertaining. It was everything we hoped it would be. It was 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 fouls, 2 goaltends. I want to see more of Namadi Diakite.
I'll take a goaltend all day long, man. That stuff doesn't bother me. It's a sign of heart and hustle.
Well,
and
I mean, look,
a little nice face-up jumper on Gibson, too. That was nice.
Well, especially when it was a 30-point game with 3 minutes left. I could have gone the final 3 minutes of the game of just watching him goaltend, because it is still mesmerizing to see the wingspan that he has and what he can cover.
And Sam Merrill with 5 points. If we allowed Greg Hill to play this stat of the day game, he would have chimed in above us all. 2 of 2 shooting, a perfect night. Although somewhat interestingly, Sam Merrill was -1 in the plus minus for those keeping score at home. But he did knock down both of his shots. So it was an empty the bench sort of night. Even DJ got in the game and scored in a 134-101 win. I'll tell you what, just happy to see basketball tonight at Fiserv Forum. Happy there was a pretty full slate of games, because a year ago tonight, we don't know what was going on, but it wasn't going to be good. What do you remember about March 11th from 2020? We'll go through some of our thoughts and remembrances of that night about a year ago. We'll also run the give and go. It's Bucks Talk on 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee and 620 WTMJ.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Randle driving into the lane, knocked out of there by Lopez again. DiVincenzo ahead of the field. He'll lay it up good with the right hand. Bucks again lead by 12. That's unofficially four block shots for Lopez in the game.
100.5 ESPN in Madison, 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee, 620 WTMJ, the Bucks flagship, all the ways you could listen to Bucks Talk. If you miss any of our programs, you can listen back in its entirety on demand. Just check out WisconsinOnDemand.com or download the free Wisconsin On Demand app. Everything, it's all free. Whatever you want on that site, on the app, it's free. Check it out at your leisure. 134-101 the final. The Bucks improve to 23-14, the high water mark over 500 with a win over the Knicks. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us. Let's grab Brent in Grafton on Bucks Talk. Brent, hey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm here with my son, Liam. He wants to say hi real quick.
Hi.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
We were at the game tonight. Hey, he says hi. We were at the game tonight. They look so good. We're so excited about the second half of the season. You know, I didn't have much faith in the first half, but just seeing them come out and destroy the Knicks like that tonight, it was beautiful.
What was it like inside the arena from a fan perspective, Brent? Is it feeling a little bit more like normal or no?
I didn't like it at all, to be honest with you. It's sort of sad, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember, like you said, last year, exactly a year ago, I was sitting in my living room, and I think I was watching was it Vince Carter's last game of his career? And suddenly that was it. You know, and then going back tonight, it was like good, but at the same time, it was sad. It's just, you don't feel that energy. You know, you don't feel the camaraderie with the fans and everything like that. And the energy just wasn't there. But it was good to be back, to be honest with you. But still, you know, there's more to be had.
Appreciate the phone call, Brent. You and Liam have yourselves a good night. Drive safe. And we did hear today, Justin, that Pfizer is going to open to 8% more fans starting March 20th. So, upwards of 3,300 fans will be allowed inside the venue. I'm anticipating, or at least hoping anyway, that it's a steady build, and maybe, just maybe, you get to 25 or 30% come mid-May just to try and move the needle a little bit more come playoff time. You know, if the Bucks end up playing a series in Texas or whatever West Conference teams play in Texas, that might be full capacity, for goodness sake. But I don't know. It's starting to move the needle a little bit. To me, just watching the game tonight, it sounds like there are fans there, but I'm not sure how much of a difference it truly makes. I don't know if it's changed at all from your perspective.
I don't think we're really going to feel the next impact, I guess, from fans. Like, when they went from 500 to the incremental gains to, what, 500 to 750 to the point where we are now, where it's 1,800 fans, you definitely felt, okay, there's a lot more fans in this building now. But I don't feel like we're going to have that feeling again until we get to around 30% capacity and beyond that it's going to be, once you get closer to full capacity and tens of thousands of fans, that's when that next feeling of, okay, now you can really sense there's a crowd energy here. Because, you know, 3,000 to 5,000, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a huge difference. That it's going to be once those numbers continue to go up. But I'm with you that we knew from the start that the plan was to get to around 25% capacity. So starting Saturday, they're going to be at 18%. And that number, I agree, is going to continue to go up as long as the Bucks continue to show we can do this safely and we're not having any issues here. That number is going to continue to rise. And you know, now we've reached the point that I feel like we're going to be 30% or beyond once we get to May and the end of the regular season and the postseason, and who knows after that. But it's not going to be until then that I feel like you really start to sense the crowd and the impact that they can have here. You know, I get Brett's point, too, that it is a weird feeling. And Greg, you and I have talked about it, too, of being in here when there was no fans and nobody else, and just how weird that was to look out here on a daily basis, and the only people in this building were myself and Ted and Ryan doing the broadcast, and, you know, a handful of Bucks personnel that would be in here, but otherwise, that was it. And then you grew accustomed to that, and once the fans were reintroduced into the building, that was strange to go from it's strange to not see people to now all of a sudden it's strange to see people. So I understand why fans could say, yeah, you know, it's kind of weird, but I think if you come back for another one and you're here for more than just one, that you do kind of settle in and feel like, oh yeah, this is what I'm used to.
Well, a year ago tonight in Oklahoma City was the last time an arena was packed for an NBA game. The Jazz were visiting Oklahoma City. It was a nice matchup of Western Conference teams as Oklahoma City was finding a groove. The Jazz, of course, a playoff team. That game never started. Here's how it sounded.
Because there were some illnesses prior to the game, Rudy Gobert being one of them, and he was scratched, waiting on the league to give the okay in order to proceed with this game, waiting for the league to confirm the green light.
Fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe.
Oh, I see what you did there, Greg. It's March 11th. And he did the 311 music there at the end. I got what you did. I don't even know if Greg knows who 311 is, but very proud of you, man. Very proud of you.
Thanks.
That was a surreal experience, Justin. I want to know your perspective on that night, what it was like for you. My first thought was, COVID has a face now. That was like, okay, this is now here, and it's real, and an athlete has it. And what's going to happen next? And the dominoes certainly started to fall. But Rudy Gobert testing positive, having that play out on TV like it did, that's when it became real to me. Like really real. Like this is going to be a problem.
Yeah. So that game was supposed to be played, and I think that was a 7 o'clock game. The last game that actually had fans was the game that was on ESPN that day between the Mavs and the Nuggets. And I remember being in the living room of my apartment watching that game and doing some of the work for the next Bucks broadcast, which was supposed to be the following day against the Boston Celtics. It was going to be a big TNT Thursday night game between the Bucks and Celtics. We were still waiting to see what the status of Giannis was going to be, because remember, he had suffered that ankle injury the weekend prior on that West Coast trip. And I remember preparing for that game and seeing Twitter blow up that the Jazz game was postponed. And then, you know, what, probably 20 minutes later, all of a sudden you get the scene of Mark Cuban being notified on the sideline and finding out, and that game reaching completion. But I think there was a Kings game scheduled that night that got postponed, and everything else just ended up getting postponed. And, you know, I remember being naive enough to think, okay, so I guess this means the Bucks aren't playing tomorrow, so I can probably stop the work that I'm doing now. But I remember thinking, so what, like a week, 2 weeks maybe, and then we'll be back at it here. And was it that night that Tom Hanks revealed that he tested positive too?
See, there was, yes. And
like everything started to come out that day, yeah, that I think we all kind of thought, okay, what's this, a week? And then you started to see, oh, yeah. Like, as the days went on, I think maybe Friday, once I hit that weekend, and it was weird to know I've literally got nothing on my calendar, where, you know, you have games and you have shows and you have other things that you're constantly doing, and all of a sudden you hit a weekend and there's nothing. And that was a weird feeling where I was wide open for the first time in what felt like a decade. And it was over the course of that weekend where I realized, you know, this is going to be more than a week. And then as the days went on, I went back and forth with my thoughts of, I don't know that they're going to return to play this season. Like, not even season, but this calendar year. I don't know that they're going to be back. And then you would hear more information trickle out, and you thought, okay, yeah, they'll probably be back. And then more would come out that would suggest the opposite, that even when they returned to play in the bubble, it was kind of to the point where, okay, here's the plan, but I'll believe it when I see it. And it's funny, because I was talking about it with some of the people here with the Bucks that I work with on Courtside Live, and they were in Atlanta for the All-Star game, and I was talking with them about, because even going in, they were expressing, you know, we're still not sure if this game is actually going to happen. And once that Philadelphia thing happened with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, talking with them about, once you saw that, what did you think? Did you think, okay, our worst fears are confirmed and this game isn't going to happen? And they had the same mindset where I had just said, you know, going into the bubble, it was, okay, here's the plan, but I'll believe it when I see it. That was how everybody with the All-Star game that was just played days ago felt of like, well, here's the plan. Here's the things that we have to do. You had to quarantine for 7 days and post six straight negative tests. So they were all in Atlanta doing that. But they still had the mindset of, we're doing this, but I'm still not sure this game is going to be played.
It felt real a year ago tonight. And I'm curious to know if you have any interesting or everlasting memories about what happened a year ago tonight, March 11th, 2020. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to share it. My perspective was slightly different, but I think, you know, ultimately I think we end up in the same spot here. It was a random night, and I had worked from home during the day. My wife came home from work and said, do you want to do anything tonight? And I said, let's go grab dinner, because I don't know if we're going to be able to do this again for a while. So we did. We went out and had tacos, and it was fine. It was a nice time. We come back home, and yeah, it's kind of commonplace. Come in, we get the kids ready for bed, flip on the TV. There's a game on. I had the Dallas game on, and I get a text from a friend saying, hey, are you seeing what's going on in Oklahoma City? So quickly, I you know, forget about bedtime for the kids here. Just let's hang on a second. What's going on in Oklahoma City? Girls brush your teeth. I started to see what was going on, ran downstairs. As I'm going downstairs, my wife is saying, hey, do you see what's happening here? Thinking she was talking about the NBA as I was looking at my phone. She was not, because it was also the same night the president said, our walls are closed. If you're in Europe, you ain't getting into our country. So the complication with that is that my wife's mom was in Spain at the time. Perhaps not the best place to be with five of her friends. So think about the time change or the time difference. You know, it's 8 o'clock on a random weeknight. I don't know, it's like 2 or 3 in the morning in Spain, and we are on the phone trying to wake up my wife's mother saying, go to the airport, just go. Don't worry about it. Get in a cab, do whatever you got to, just get to the airport. So we start looking online to book tickets to fly them home. And we were able to get them on a plane. And it cost us $13,000.
Jeez.
$13,000 to buy 6 one-way tickets from Spain back to O'Hare. Not even Milwaukee, but to get to O'Hare. I mean, it was chaos at that time. And as soon as you'd hit refresh on your computer, whatever you were looking at was all of a sudden gone. Or it jacked up in price. Like, it was the craziest, like, four-hour stretch that I recall in the last decade of my life. It was absolutely, and it was amazing. And not in a great way, just remarkably unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I think back to the calendar year here and just how much things have changed, but how we're still here. But I mean, I know this is a sports show, but just how much this transcends past sports. And, you know, think back to the way you felt that first week and that first weekend of, we still didn't know a whole lot. And I just spoke to the naivete that I had to think that this was going to be short term initially. But even once you started to gather more information and all kinds of information, good and bad, accurate and inaccurate, that, you know, think back, I don't know if you felt the same way, but think back to a lot of the feelings that I had and a lot of the information you were given and the way that this was presented at the time, too, was there was a legitimate fear of getting this virus because we assumed, if I catch this, there's a good chance I'm going to die. And you went through the first few months feeling that way. And think about, you know, for people like us, Greg, to go into the radio station. And I remember even for going out to do go grocery shopping or do things, even very cautious about that. But when you were on the road and seeing there's no cars out here and, you know, dealing with traffic and things where you think about the times that I have to travel and leaving sporting events and knowing, well, it's going to take me additional travel time. And the first time that I had to go into the radio station for something, just going in there and taking half the time it usually takes, and just the eerie feeling of it being like a ghost town and almost like a horror movie where you see it's the end of days and there's nobody here on the road, and just adjusting to that as the new normal, and, you know, seeing where sports fell into things in terms of your priorities, how you use that as release, everything that was associated with it, and, you know, how much we've changed with how we consume that, and where and when and how we view sports and listen to sports now, and how much things like that are going to continue to evolve and change because of the changes that we're experiencing here. So, I mean, it's we knew this date was creeping up. It's still very weird to think back to a year ago, and I mean, I still have vivid memories over that day and the work that I was doing in preparing, and just how weird that week was in general, if we want to keep it to sports. Because, you know, remember, the last game that the Bucks played was that blowout loss to the Denver Nuggets where basically nobody played, where Giannis was out and Chris was out and Eric Bledsoe didn't play. Brooke Lopez, I think, was the only starter that, or no, Brooke didn't play. It was Wesley Matthews was the only actual starter that played in that game. And it was just a weird week. It was compounded with that. To go through all that, to go through the uncertainty leading up to the bubble, and, you know, you and I have talked about the experience with that as well. I mean, I wasn't in the bubble, but just how my job changed and doing things from in here and all the different changes that we still have to this day and just everything that came with the bubble and just how unique that was. The Bucks' decision to boycott a game, broadcasting games from the players' locker room and going through that. It is a year I will never forget, but I don't know that I want to think back on a lot of it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, it is March 11th, 2021. Last year, the month of March felt like 486 days. And it seems like once I convinced my mind, like, okay, we are done with March, all of a sudden we're back to March.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened, but last March was a time warp, man. And here we are again. We're a year later, and Justin Ifauta said, you are going to be doing this show with me. You'll be wearing a mask at Fiserv Forum, and there'll be a spattering of fans. And, I mean, I don't even know how you picture that. You know, just the fact that we're playing basketball, fans were able to watch, buy tickets, and enjoy a game tonight, I think that's great. It's a step in the right direction, and hopefully it just starts to slowly rebuild. And I think that's naturally what we're seeing here. But I wasn't convinced last March that we'd be here this March.
No, I mean, and it's going to be weird once we get to, what, probably the fall and next season. And when we look back on this 15-ish month period, and as soon as we get further and further removed from it, when it's going to be the, remember that 1 year where they finished the season in the bubble and they played the season where there's no fans, and then it was initially some fans were welcome in the arenas, and it's just been a very, very weird year. I think it's allowed us a lot of self-reflection, though. We had time alone with ourselves, and hopefully we made the most of that and worked on self-improvement. But the other negative from it is, if you've pointed them out quite a few times so far, Greg, in my youth, I was a huge 311 fan. So March 11th was a big day for 311 Day. I mean, I don't know that I can ever really fully celebrate 311 Day anymore, because the 11th is always of March is just always going to be that weird day where the spiral began, and yeah, I'd rather not revisit that.
A win tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks, 1 year later, 134-101. We will run the give and go coming up on the other side. Would love to hear from you as well, 855-616-1620. It's Bucks Talk on ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. The Round Ball Repartee returns.
Ooh, I love repartee.
Eat.
Usually means there's a battle scene coming.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
To go in the game. The clock runs. This one is in the bank. 7 for 7 for Forbes. Oh, my goodness! Bryn Forbes, 7 for 7 on threes. Wow!
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
Do you know why Todd Gibson wears number 67?
Oh, boy.
How can I say this? It's not the year he was born, was it? Because I know he's been around and with Tibbs for quite a while.
Because that's how old he is. He is 67 years old.
Okay.
I don't know if many people know that. He is the oldest player in the NBA. He is 67 years old.
Wasn't sure if there was a Jared Allen joke in there or not.
No, he is 67 years old. Remember when he could guard Giannis? That goes back to, like, the Bucks-Bulls playoff series when O.J. Mayo was sweet-stroking threes from the top of the key.
Taj Gibson and Tibbs, name a more iconic duo that he's just followed. And Derrick Rose, I guess you can put in there, too. Like, Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose, Tibbs, every stop, it's, you know what, I'm doing it with my guys.
I get it, right? I mean, it makes sense. You've got a team of young up-and-comers in New York. You got to have some veteran presence. And certainly a guy who has bought into Tibbs' philosophy, because I get the feeling that Tibbs has the same effect on a team as Scott Skiles had on a team.
Okay.
After a little while, you're like, I don't know if I could do this anymore, man. Like, enough.
I was just about to say, it feels very reminiscent of Scott Skiles, and Tibbs certainly has had more success in the coaching ranks than Scott Skiles, but it feels very similar in that you're always wondering how young players will take to it, and usually it's got a very, very small shelf life, that it's going to last for a couple of years, and then after 3 or 4 years of this guy just running us ragged in practice and playing us 40 minutes a game and screaming at us, you know what, I'm done with this, and we'd rather have something else.
One possession each, 24 seconds on the shot clock. What is the play? He designed.
I'm back.
These guys discuss. It's time to run the give and go.
Wow, a whole segment where Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose, Tom Thibodeau, and Scott Skiles were mentioned. You guys are just...
And Bobby Portis was in the game too,
man,
Greg.
Was in the game today. You guys are just treating me. This is amazing. All right, so here we go. Let's talk about Brook Lopez for a second. Brolo looking like the defensive force that we're used to this evening. 5 blocks, 3 offensive rebounds, 14 points in 25 minutes. Sure looking like the Brook of old, not Brooklyn Brook, but Brook a couple seasons ago, if not last season. Do you think Brook has the biggest difference between the first half and the second half for a player on this team?
Oh, that's interesting. Do you think he underperformed in the first half? Is that where you're going, Greg?
Yeah.
Do you think it was a subpar first half?
Based on what we know he could do and what he has been shown to do on this team, yeah, I would say that he performed under expectations. If you disagree, you can disagree. Go ahead.
No, it's interesting because we saw him played off the floor at times, and that was more lineup-driven. And then he thought, all right, well, is he going to close games out? He's an elite rim protector, but what if a team goes small? Do you have to put Portis in, and then you get your offense, but you lose a little on defense? I think with Brolo, he's got to be what he was tonight, right? I mean, protect the rim. I mean, tonight was really elite-level rim protection. Score near double figures. Knocked down his open threes, and not great there tonight, 2 of 6, but if Brook Lopez plays tonight like tonight, the rest of the way, somewhere around what he did tonight, that's good enough for me, right? That's solid.
Usually we're very aligned here, Greg Hill, but I disagree.
Okay.
I do not think what we saw in the first half was... number one, I guess we should say this. I don't think Brook Lopez has been as bad as the majority of Bucks Twitter would lead you to believe he's been. Now, has he been the dominant force that he was defensively the last 2 years? No. I think it's clear that the overall game has regressed a little bit, declined a little bit. But let's also keep in mind, this is a big man who's got a lot of wear and tear in his body, and who is going to turn 33 in just a couple of weeks here. So that is a factor as well. But I don't think it was a massive drop-off from what we saw in the first half to what he has typically been here in his Bucks career. And if anything, the shooting had gone up in the first half. So I would say the guy that I expect to see the biggest gains from in the second half is clearly Mamadi Diakite. No, I would say it's going to be Drew Holiday. That I think it's going to be more reliance on him and more getting comfortable within this system. And we're going to see more and more of, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be, at least with this team, a 20-point scorer. But I think we're going to see the scoring go up a little bit. And, you know, the 10 games that he missed is going to aid that as well, where it's going to stand out even more, the things that he does provide to this team.
Yeah, I don't, again, like when I say not performing expectations, it's not negative. So you're spot on, Justin. It's not negative. It's negative, but negative from good. So less good. I don't know. It's a weird way to describe it. But thank you for playing. All right, here's something, right? Here's something that I should just read the questions that I wrote. Let's take a dip into college sports. No, not the Badgers, who did win, although barely, against Penn State in the Big Ten Championship earlier tonight. Can we talk about this Michigan State thing? Like, the Spartans will now be referred to Michigan State Spartans. If you've missed it, the Michigan Spartans will now be referred to, formally, that is, as the Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage. Now, no matter how you feel about this, if this moved into the NBA, who should the Milwaukee Bucks be presented by? I have a few suggestions. The Milwaukee Bucks presented by Coors Light has a nice ring to it. The Milwaukee Bucks presented by Cream City Cluckery. I'm sure that would pay off in the locker room food-wise. Or the Milwaukee Bucks presented by Silk Exotic. Maybe it'd make for an interesting halftime show. What do you guys think?
I hear they do have a good lunch buffet. For what it's worth. Just stay away from the crab legs. Somebody told me that once.
Veggie so burgers as want, well. Stay away from that.
Yeah. See, we're just dropping knowledge.
So, do you want me to say, like, the Milwaukee Bucks presented by John Deere? Is that what you want me to say?
I mean, listen, if it fits, like, if it's got a ring to it, it's better than a mortgage company.
It fits. It's not a proud Wisconsin company. It's an outstanding company. Just not a Wisconsin company, but there's some. It fits. I like the Michigan State thing, by the way. I think it's genius. I think it is forward thinking, and it softens the blow of a $30 million loss in budget shortfall, and this will sweep the college landscape in the next 5 to 10 years, probably less. It's going to happen everywhere. Michigan State is way out ahead of the game on this one, and it's a genius idea.
Okay, so in the context of the question, I guess I would say the Cream City Cluckery, just to hopefully continue to grease the wheels and continue to get some more and more free chicken tenders from the delicious Cream City Cluckery. It's always top-notch. So I would go with them. It does remind me of Milwaukee Bucks courtside presented by Fox Sports Wisconsin. Similar motif there as well. But it also kind of reminds me of The Office in the episode where Andy Bernard returns from anger management training and tells Jim and Pam, it's Drew now. Like, hey, Andy, welcome back. Oh, it's Drew now. And Jim just tells him, no, I'm not calling you Drew. It's going to be the same thing where it's the Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage, where everybody around the Big Ten and everybody that is there in the state of Michigan and everybody on ESPN and other outlets, it's going to be, it's just the Michigan State Spartans to me. If that's your setup, great, but no. You can be Drew behind closed doors. You're Andy when we're in the same room.
You remember Church's Chicken, Justin?
Oh, I do.
So there was a Church's Chicken off Capitol Drive near our studios, and when that thing opened, the line on Capitol Drive was like down to Shorewood High School. Like you were not going to get your bird that day. I went through there once, I don't know, 8, 9 o'clock. I got done with the shift. I had a couple friends at my house I was meeting. They were at my house before I even got home. I grabbed some beer and went through Church's Chicken because I hadn't had dinner yet. And I had a lot of beer for whatever reason. I had a lot of beer. My wife worked for Miller at that time, too, so I had more beer than necessary. And the guy that I got my meal from in the drive-thru, he saw all the beer and he thought I was going to be having a great time. And, yeah, we're going to have some fun tonight. He said, if I give you some free bird, will you give me some of your beer? Sure enough, so I gave him a six-pack of the Miller Lite that I had. I got a big sack of free bird, took it home, and then it was beer and bird for my friends and I. Man, we had a great old time.
I had a similar story when I was in college, for even less than beer, too. And boy, we're going to need Greg Hill's help on this, because, Greg, we were both in lacrosse for college, not at the same time.
But represent.
I don't know, is the Little Caesars still in business in lacrosse?
Oh, it's still there.
Okay, so...
The one.
Well, it is the one. Anything in lacrosse is the one, Greg. I was coming home late at night, early morning one night from downtown in lacrosse, and had, for some reason, a free Miller Lite t-shirt that they must have just been giving out at the bar, and I just had it over my shoulder. Walked through the drive-thru at Little Caesars and was about to pay with a roll of quarters, as I often did. And the gentleman who was probably the same age as me working in the drive-thru saw the t-shirt and said, "Where'd you get that?" "Well, at the bar." "Okay. What if I give you your order for free? Will you give me that shirt?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I have like $7.14 to my name." "Yes, I will give you that shirt." So I got a free pizza and crazy bread for a stupid Miller Lite t-shirt.
But why would you pay in quarters? What was that your thing?
I don't
thing?
Know why I had... It must have been for laundry, and you would often reach the point where you were like, should I do my laundry, or can I just walk down the street and get a pizza from Little Caesars and eat for the day? It's one or the other. I'm going with Little Caesars.
I think you did the right thing. Although Little Caesars, I don't know. He and I don't have a great relationship. We'll just put it that way. Now, you've heard my stories about rum and milkshakes, and I don't want to go down there anymore. We will wrap up Bucks Talk after this. Take a little walk around the league. Interesting nugget about somebody not playing tonight, a healthy scratch. More to come on that after this.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Diakite again looking for those first points. Jumper, good! There it is! The first points for Mamadi Diakite. 134-101, and the bench loves it.
134-101, the Bucks pull off the victory over the New York Knicks. Very impressive win for the Milwaukee Bucks. Next up, a Saturday night contest against the Washington Wizards, part of a three-game road trip for the Bucks. Back-to-back games against Washington Saturday and Monday, and then a trip to Philadelphia to face the 76ers on Wednesday. Quick look at the scoreboard here, Justin. Bucks gain no ground in the standings here as the Nets hammer the Celtics 121-109. No Kevin Durant, no Blake Griffin for the Nets. For those keeping score at home, the Nets do have Blake Griffin now. And interesting nugget here, something to watch, and this will happen, I think, with a couple of different teams. The healthy scratch. Beware of the healthy scratch. 2 weeks out of the trade deadline, P.J. Tucker held out of the Rockets lineup tonight just in a healthy scratch. I get why teams do this. I don't really like that they do it. We saw it happen during the first half of the season. Trade bait is kept healthy in the name of P.J. Tucker tonight with the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm honestly surprised that, because we see it more and more often, but there's no ambiguity anymore, where it's basically, we're not playing him, and we intend on trading him and finding a trade partner, so that's the reason why. And I'm honestly surprised we haven't gotten that message yet from the Rockets of, P.J. Tucker's not playing between now and 325. If we don't find a trade for him, then yeah, we'll play him after that, but he's not going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge also coming to a quote-unquote agreement with the Spurs. Not likely to play either until after the trade deadline. Who knows what team he will be a part of. We've got 2 weeks until the trade deadline. A lot of Bucks basketball between now and then. Join Justin and me following Saturday night's game against the Washington Wizards. If you missed any of Bucks Talk, any of our previous episodes, please download the Wisconsin On Demand app. It is all free. Listen to Bucks Talk at your leisure. Appreciate your time tonight. We will talk to you again following Saturday night's game on ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ.